Right here, right now, it's back.
WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Ballard Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are...
And it is awesome!
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire!
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell what the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out in chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer, /co/handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. It's a Thursday night. We're gearing up for WrestleMania in 2 weeks. Less than 2 weeks. We're almost there.
It's like 10 days or something like that.
10 days like that. It's close. We're getting there. It's closer and closer every time we do a show. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's Facebook.com/WildTalkRadio. I argue and tweet us at Wild Talk Radio. I'm Rock Radio Show. Islands. We're coming to WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/W2Live to interact with us live. Because we're here to talk about things, places, and WrestleMania.
We're on the build. We're building to what is going to be a very, very, very busy week where we don't do news again for a minute. We just talk nothing but WrestleMania. But we promise it won't be like the holidays where there's like a month of no news.
Like 2 weeks.
And then we just info dump.
Yeah, it's 2 weeks worth of no news, most likely.
So, you know, get ready for that, guys. But speaking of the news, let's jump right into the news brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. And so, jumping right off with WWE and Getty Images have entered into a business partnership. The two sides issued a press release on Monday announcing that Getty Images has been named the exclusive worldwide photographic licensing partner of WWE. Getty Images will distribute photos from WWE TV and PLEs, along with an archive of WWE photographs from the past 4 decades plus. Damn, I'm so depressed now. Y'all don't understand. I used to have a Getty Images stock account. Fuck. Okay, anyway. Getty Images will exclusively distribute and license WWE-owned imagery for editorial and commercial. God damn it, it's commercial too. Mother. Commercial uses via GettyImages.com. I'm so mad right now. This includes coverage for Monday Night Raw, NXT, Friday Night SmackDown, as well as premium live events such as WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Money in the Bank, and more. The press release said, additionally, never before seen WWE-owned photographs and archival content dating back to 1980 will be available for licensing worldwide. This is amazing and awesome, and I'm so pissed.
It's tremendous. So pissed. It's tremendous.
I used to have a Getty account for my old job. It was commercial only. Like, that's the thing. It'd be one thing if it's editorial. Like, it would be one thing if it was just editorial, and then I wouldn't be as mad. But the commercial distinction is just, oh, that pisses me off so hard. For those of you that don't know, editorial and commercial, they're two different, like, obvious distinctions. Editorial you use in, like, magazines and news articles and newspapers and all that other stuff. They are licensed strictly for editorial content. So like when you see pictures of celebrities, that's where they tend to, like, from all these events, that's where those pictures come from. Commercial pictures are all the stock pictures that you see everywhere else, literally. So the fact that WWE is going to license their shit commercially, that makes me so mad. It's awesome, but it makes me mad. But maybe that just means you can, like, find it on Getty and then you just deal with the watermark.
That's probably what's going to happen. Yeah. You'll have to deal with the watermark, but that's fine. That's fine. You can live with the watermark images, but it's cool. It's like baseball and all the sports and entertainment programs and stuff. They have it. And now WWE is a part of it. So that's what's up.
That's pretty awesome. So good for them and good for Getty. Kelly has signed a Legends deal with WWE. So congratulations to her.
Holla. Oh, that's the best I got.
Good for her.
It's good though. It's great for her. She'll get toys. She'll get video games. Right, you know, all the things. That's good stuff. They're signing a lot of women from that era. So
I wonder if they're up to something.
It's a mystery, like Evolution.
Part two. Legendary superstars Kamala, Dory Funk Sr., and Ivan Koloff will enter the WWE Hall of Fame as the 2025 Legacy inductees. Congratulations to them. Well deserved.
That's pretty good. They're honoring them at the Hall of Fame. Many people thought Kamala was going to be inducted in the regular wing, but he's in the Legacy wing, which is fine. But he also signed it with his Legends deal with the family signed. That's good for them.
Mm-hmm. Gives them a little bump, so that's good.
Yeah, but that rounds out the Hall of Fame for 2025.
Yeah, that's gonna be a long ceremony because there's a lot.
No, it's Michelle, Hunter, Typhoon. I'm missing Hall of Famers off the top of my head.
I think it depends on how long they limit the speeches to.
Brett and Austin will be up there. Hunter, Michelle. Oh yeah, Luger's the other one. I mean, they're not that much. Because the Legacy, none of the three are alive enough for the Legacy. So it's Brad and Austin, Typhoon for the Natural Disasters, Luger, Michelle, and Hunter. It's a 2-hour Hall of Fame.
We hope.
It could be an hour, who knows? But I don't know.
It could be, I mean, an hour would be good. An hour would be great. Not to say that, like, people, you know, don't have a right to get up and honor themselves and honor their loved ones that have passed away, like honor their whole commitments and everything that they've done, their achievements. But, you know, if you could get it in under an hour, that would be fantastic. I think for the rest of us.
I think 90 minutes, Hunter would get 30, or as long as he wants, but I would say 30. Michelle, 15. Luger, 15. And then Natural Disasters, and then Brett and Austin. I mean, you can do that in 90 to 2 hours. I mean, that's good. It's 10 p.m. Pacific. Watch in the morning. Anyway.
Have breakfast, you know, drink your coffee, watch the Hall of Fame.
Right into Stand and Deliver, and then right into WrestleMania. Yep.
So much wrestling. So much wrestling.
Lots of wrestling.
Quite a lot of wrestling. It's gonna be a good time, y'all. Moving on, Trick Williams, a breakout star of NXT, is set to be in All American. Variety has learned exclusively that Williams will appear in the season 7 finale of the CW football drama. Williams will play Eddie Blair, the athletic director of South Crenshaw High. The role actually marks a return to the show for Williams, who previously worked as an extra during the show's third season. Good for him. Congratulations.
That's pretty cool. Cool. Him to get a part like that, like a starring role.
Maybe he'll become a regular.
You never know. It happens.
You never know. Sending nothing but good thoughts and happy vibes that towards his way that he, you know, becomes a regular on the show. That would be cool. Moving on to AEW, TNT has currently has the April 26th edition of Collision listed as a 3-hour show. Why?
Gets better.
According to the network schedule, the episode is set to air from 8:30 to 11:30 following the coverage for the NBA playoffs.
Read the next bit and then we'll talk about it.
AEW announced the return of Fyter Fest, which will be a live 4-hour block featuring both AEW Dynamite and Collision, and it will be taking place on June 4th in Denver, Colorado. Oh, God.
I mean, okay, for the Collision one, for the 3-hour one, it's cool that TNT wants to prop up its broadcast and try to showcase AEW after the NBA. That's cool. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you needed 3 hours, but it is what it is. 3 hours, that's now 3 hours. And it's like, it's a 3-hour block in between the live game and then the replay of a game. So I guess, so it is what it is.
Oh, it's going to be like broken up, or is it just like three solid hours? Like
it's, in between no, it's, games? No, it's 3 hours. And then there's a replay of an older game afterwards. So it's like, get the live game, AEW, and then the replay of an older game. The 4-hour block on a Wednesday, though.
Yeah.
Also, I think the April 26th episode is a tape show, so which is going to be taped with Dynamite. So they're going to tape for at least 4 hours that night. Good luck being at taping on a Wednesday. Also, 4 hours live on a Wednesday. That's
a lot, dude. I mean, what's their normal taping?
That's kind of what they do through, because they would tape Ring of Honor too on those nights. So they usually go at least 3 hours, 4 hours, having to be top tier content for 4 hours. It's pay per view, and if they load it up like a pay per view, that's great. Oof, 4 hours. I don't think
that's
I
a
watch.
Lot.
That's a lot on a Wednesday. Good luck. I mean, great. They got the live 4-hour block on TNT or TBS, whatever it is. It's like, great. I don't know if I would want to do 4 hours because your audience is going to be burnt out and the ratings are just going to... Unless you have a really hot main event for that fourth hour, you're going to dip. And you can't run it like, hey, Dynamite was 2 great hours and then here comes the B team. Because they've done that in the past where they had an extra where they did it, Dynamite and Rampage for 3 hours. The third hour, just so, like you saw, they did the hot angle, the close out Dynamite, and then here comes the B team. And the rating dipped. So I'll be curious to see if they can keep people for 4 hours. I don't know if they can. Unless there's a really hot main event.
I was going to say, they'd have to put on something big just to like keep people in.
Yeah.
But I think no matter what they do, just because it is a 4-hour event, that like people are just going to come in and out as they want to, as opposed to just sitting through all 4 hours. Because that's, even on a pay-per-view, it's hard to keep people's attention. Especially now, because it's like, well, it's on demand, so I can go back and watch anything I miss. So it's like, you know, because at some point you got to get up and go to the bathroom, you want to go get a snack, things happen, you know, your attention gets taken away, people have, you know, families and kids and then whatnot, and that's the prime time that you're putting kids to bed. So, like, people are going to come in and out, basically. We'll have to see, like, how that all goes. We really, really will. Like, I hope it's successful for them. Like, I want them to achieve the success. That's a lot, though. Like, in one setting, in one shot.
It's a lot, especially with the pacing that they use, which is a lot of, you don't get, everything's constantly coming at you. So we'll see.
We will see. All right, let's do the injury roundup.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulder snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
All right, we have Pac, who is out with an ankle injury, unfortunately.
# blame Brent.
So he took the buckle bomb on Dynamite last night, and I guess his leg bent and stuff, and he immediately rolled out to the outside. Doctors checked on him. He hobbled back into the ring to quickly end the match, which they should have just called it, honestly.
For real.
It was like he was outside of the ring for like 2-3 minutes, and then they could have just called it. But they didn't. He got back in the ring. They did a quick finish, and that's what happened. So it's an ankle injury, no word of how severe, but it was on crutches. So hopefully he's not out for a long term, but you never know.
You never know. And this one just makes me super sad. Unfortunately, Kevin Owens is out with a neck injury.
Hashtag blame Brent.
He's going to be out for quite a while because he has to have a fusion surgery. So that's what, 9 months to a year?
Yeah, something like that. Depends on how fused he has to go, at least 9 months. So hopefully he's back for next year's WrestleMania time.
Yeah, but unfortunately he had to bow out of this year's, which has opened up for other matches to be added to the card. But I hate that for him. Like, it's just
it's terrible.
Ungodly unfortunate.
Yeah, it's awful that the timing. And he talked about he did his scans in December. He has stenosis, but everyone has stenosis if you're a wrestler. But he was fine. Everything came back good. Then he had a couple matches in January, and he felt something with his neck. And they finally got around to getting it checked out. And MRI came back last week, said, hey, this is it. This is the deal. And fusion time. So it's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate. So feel better, Kevin. I hope everything goes well with the surgery, and I hope that you recover speedily. I hope that you recover speedily.
Indeed.
So let's go to break. So when we come back, we are going to be doing WrestleMania entrances. We're going to be ranking them on where they fall in the annals of awesomeness. I don't know. We're ranking WrestleMania entrances. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. In my life is to get high on. When I sit alone, come get a little known. But I need more than myself this time. Step from the road to the sea to the sky. And I do believe that we rely on. When I lay it on, come get to play it on. All my life to sacrifice. Hey, yo, listen what I say.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
This is my brutality!
This is Rhea Bloody Ripley, a.k.a. Mommy, a.k.a. the future Women's World Champion, letting you know that WrestleMania coverage is coming to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I eat sleep, bleed, the demons in your dreams.
It all kicks off April 12th at 11:30 p.m. Eastern with CB Radio Live when Subway and the Godfather of Extreme Rob Parks give their predictions. On Sunday, April 13th, WrestleTalk Radio will preview the entire show with Tim Stein, Kishi, and the Bloody Intern at 10 p.m. Eastern. On Monday, April 14th, it's the go-home to WrestleMania on Monday Night Raw, and once it ends, the Raw post-show will talk all about it. Then on April 17th, The Rack with Lindsay and Sir Rockin' will preview everything that will go down on the grandiose stage at 10 p.m. Eastern. And then on April 18th, the night before WrestleMania, we will be simulating the entire show at 10 p.m. Week 2 kicks off on Saturday, April 19th with The Rack Extra Reviews, WrestleMania Night 1, whenever WrestleMania ends. Then on Sunday, April 20th, WrestleTalk Radio will review both nights of WrestleMania once the final bell hits. Then on April 21st, the Raw Post Show will be live with a full review of Raw After Mania. And finally, on April 24th, The Rack will review WrestleMania Night 2 at 10 p.m. Eastern. Join us for all the fun and excitement, and if you don't, Mommy will haunt you in your dreams.
No actual Rhea Ripley were hurt, harmed, or used in this ad.
See you all there.
Did you know you can use support a creator code ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's R-O-C-K-N-S-O-C-K in the Fortnite item shop. That's a hashtag ad, because we are a hashtag epic partner.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, and you're listening to Rack Radio.
You think you're special?
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, we can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe. There we go. For free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe right away, follow the channel, hang out in chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, we are back. And in the spirit of WrestleMania, because it is rapidly approaching, we are going to be rating WrestleMania entrances throughout the years. We have 40 that we're going to go through.
Yep, from 5 stars to 1 star. Figure that's the easiest way to rank them. Also, yeah. Thanks to AI Rhea for help with the ad.
I forgot about that. Like, the second I heard it, I'm like, oh, yeah, that.
I sent clips of, like, testing the AI app, and I'm like, huh.
That's scary. That's scary.
It is very scary. Like, some of them were really, really bad. Like, really bad. Hers was pretty much spot on.
And hers was pretty solid. Like,
yeah.
The only difference is there's not, like, the inflection where she's going, like, she's speaking naturally. Like, it's just very, like, one tone, very flat. But, yeah, like, in terms of what her voice is, oh, yeah, I got it.
It sure did, yeah. So
technology is a scary thing.
It's scary. We live in a scary time. Yeah.
All right. Yes, Rhea, well, please don't get mad at us. Thanks.
No, Rhea Ripley was that harmed or used in that ad.
It's AI Rhea. So okay. All right. I'm just gonna start at the top of the list and we're gonna work our way down.
Works for me.
Just because I feel like the first one is a 5-star, for sure. The Shawn Michaels zipline entrance at WrestleMania 12. It's the showstopper, the main event. It is synonymous with WrestleMania. It's in all the throwback clips. It's iconic at this point. To me, that's 5-star.
Yeah. You'll eventually end up low end of the 5 stars, but it is 5 stars. Because it was the first real, like, hey, they're just not walking to the ring entrance. He's coming down from the rafters. Vince McMahon goes crazy, like, announcing it. It set the standard. It was really cool. And it's in every, as you mentioned, it's in every promotional video they've ever done.
Like I said, it's iconic. It's synonymous with WrestleMania at this point. Like, you can't. So yeah, Gangster Cena from WrestleMania 22. I kind of want to make this like a 4, even though Punk was there and he was a gangster. Like, I kind of want to make this a 4.
That works for me.
All right, sticking with John Cena, the C Nation, where he had the clone Cenas running all the way down the ramp at WrestleMania 25.
That's also a 4.
That's a 4, but it's a higher 4 than the gangster, simply because Cena hauled ass down that entire fucking ramp all the way to the ring.
He did.
Like, that's some cardio right there.
Sure did.
and the cameraman went with him.
Yeah, Stu the cameraman went with him because that's his guy.
Kind of wonder if Stu was like, crap, look at that.
Stu's happy. He must be happy now. He doesn't run anymore. He walks.
Stu's like, look, we're both getting older. Cut the running. We're done.
We're done running. No more running.
You left and I stopped doing cardio. So, you know, no more running.
No more running.
Up next, we have The New Day, the complete set, doing the Bootios entrance at WrestleMania 32. I thought this was cool. Like, I love the use of the props and just the overall look and feel of it. But to me, it's like a 3.
Yes.
Or a low 4.
I'd say top end 3. It's solid, but it like the production value was there, but it was a solid entrance.
In terms of everything else that's on this list that we're going to talk about, it's a lower tech entrance in comparison to everything else.
Yes.
That we got going on. Speaking of which, Dead Man's Hands, the Undertaker's entrance at WrestleMania 29. This is where he stepped out and all the hands came up through the fog and were grabbing at him.
Cool visual.
The visual was incredible. Like, this is actually one of my most favorite entrances that he's ever done, just for that, like, visual of him, like, that you've got there where he's in the shadow and he's coming out of the fog and you just have all the hands reaching up to him. Like, it's, to me, it captures the essence of what the character is. And it lives up to, like, pretty much every other entrance he's done at WrestleMania.
It's 3 or 4.
I want to put it up in a 4.
That's fine. It's, like, right there with the Cena, gangsta Cena.
Yeah.
Solid, cool visual, but, like, it was still just a Taker entrance.
Yeah, there wasn't really anything super special to it, but it was 29. Was that? Who was that?
Punk.
Yeah, it had that emotional attachment to it. So yeah, but still very cool. All right. Since it might be Rusev Day again here potentially soon, let's talk about it. Rusev enters into the tank or in a tank at WrestleMania 31.
I want to give it a 5.
I feel like it deserves a 5.
It's a tank at WrestleMania.
I mean, fuck. Lana had a white fur stole. She looked incredible. Like, this was peak Rusev.
It was his peak,
everything,
yeah.
You know, this was everything. And he looked incredible. The tank sold it. Like, the whole visual was just fantastic. And nobody has come close to touching it. Just in terms of, like, vehicles at WrestleMania. Like, Rusev had a goddamn tank. I mean, come on.
Pretty much, yeah. 5 stars.
5 stars. Seth with the Mummers at WrestleMania 40.
This was cool. I think it's a 4.
I would make it a high 4.
Yeah, high 4. But it's not a 5. But it was a really cool. It was like it was a local feel to it. Like, it tied to the city here in Philly.
I was just about to say that.
Which gave it a bit like, hey, you know, we're honoring what it is here in the city for that WrestleMania. It touched all the bases and it was a cool visual.
It was a nice touch to the show that, like, they did that nod, because the Mummers are so, like, unique to Philly. They aren't, as far as I know, anywhere else.
Correct.
So, like, the fact that they did that was super cool. Like, they had a couple different, I think, nods to the city on that show.
Yeah.
Which was nice. I kind of hope that's something that they continue doing, that they, like, acknowledge and, like, honor the city that they're in, because in the past they tended not to really do that a lot. I think the only time I can really remember it is, like, New York. So I thought that was really cool, but it's a 4. Like, the entrance was just Seth coming out with the Mummers, but it's, if you understand the Mummers and you know how they tie to the city and you know what they are, it was a really cool moment. This next one, ooh, the King of Kings on his throne. Hunter enters at WrestleMania 30.
So you had,
this is a 5.
It's 5 because you had Charlotte, Sasha, and Alexa in the entrance before they became stars to start with. Like, it was a really cool visual. He probably had his NXT girls in the entrance. And yeah, it's 100% a 5. So it was a great, great visual.
When you think of Hunter, this is kind of what you think of, because this really was, like, peak Triple H, especially because this was towards the very end of his career. I think he had a couple more in him after this, but this was like when you think of Hunter at his end, he was really, really strong at his end. And this is one of those things that it's borderline iconic simply because, again, it's in the advertising. You see it pop up, but also because somebody, a specific somebody, decided he had to meme it and duplicate it and smash the throne for attention. So, I mean, you know, that doesn't make it a five, but I'm just saying it just adds to the mystique of it.
Yeah, it does.
It's totally a five, though.
It totally is a five. All right, what's next?
And speaking of Hunter, we're going to stay on that trend. Terminating the game. This is Hunter's entrance from WrestleMania 31, where he had the Terminator statues. This is, to me, I'm going to make this a three.
Really?
This was cool, but this needed to happen in a dark building. If this had happened at night or in a dark building, it would go higher. But to me, like the fact that he came out, it was still broad daylight, and you had the statues, like the Terminator skeletons come up from the stage, and you could see them in plain daylight, and you could tell that they were fake and that they weren't moving and they weren't really doing anything. They were kind of static. Just to me, this is like a three.
It should be a two.
Oh, you're going to go lower. Okay. All right. I can give you two.
The two, because of the one thing you said. It was in daylight. Darkness, it's a five. In light, it's a two.
Yeah. There's another one that's going to get that asterisk on this list.
Yep.
Okay. Rising. And I'm not sure who this is. Is it both of them or is it one?
It's Shawn.
It's Shawn? Okay. Yeah. Shawn Michaels, WrestleMania 25, dressed as the Light Undertaker, rising from the heavens.
It's Shawn.
This is another one that's in the advertising.
This is either a four or a five.
I feel like this is a really high four.
Yeah, I can give you that.
Like, if it was both of them together, I would almost be tempted to make it a five just because you had the visual of Shawn dressed in the Light Undertaker gear descending from the heavens with the smoke. I think my only issue with it, and obviously this is for safety, and so I have no problem with the fact that they did it for safety, but you could see the way that they were lowering him.
Mm-hmm.
That they were just basically bringing him down in cherry picker. So, like, that was my only, like, issue with it. But you had, like, the visual of Shawn descending from the heavens, coming out dressed in the all white, and then the exact opposite is the Undertaker emerges from the stage from hell, and he's in all black, and it's the Undertaker, right? And it's such a simple thing, but just the way they had Taker come in the shot, like the two entrances together, it was really well put together.
It was.
But yeah, to me, it's a four.
Yeah, it's high four.
All right, the pink Cadillac at WrestleMania 6.
It's a one star.
Yeah.
Pink. It's I'm a pink Cadillac. It's only famous because it was DDP's car. That's not why I put it on the list. It was DDP's car. But it's a one. Cool. But it's a one. Next.
Again, in the grand scheme. All right. We're back with Hunter. WrestleMania 21, Motorhead.
That was cool.
I feel like it has to be a five just because it's fucking Motorhead, right?
No, it's not a five. Like, it's not a five.
It's not a five?
No, it's not, like a, it's sure? like, yeah, it's 100% like a three or a four.
But it's Motorhead.
I understand this, but it's not a five. The entrance itself is not a five. It's a cool performance, but it's not a five. I'll do four. And I'm the Hunter guy.
Okay.
And I'm saying it's a three or a four.
I was going to say, he's a Triple H guy, so. I mean, yeah. you put it wherever your heart feels best.
Yeah, it'll be in the mix of the fours.
All righty. Smashing Cars, WrestleMania 22.
That's John Cena smashing through the plate glass, and here he comes. John Cena.
I mean, it's a cool entrance.
It's a cool entrance. Three or two.
It seems like a three, though.
Yeah. It was a cool visual of the glass breaking with the car and stuff. Or is it that? Was that 22? That might have been 23. That was it? I don't remember.
Hold on. Because I mean.
No, it was 23. Yeah, that one's 23 because Gangsta Cena was 22. That's my bad. That's 23.
I was going to say, I don't remember that one at 22, but okay.
But that's a three. Right. Yeah. It's 23. All of them blend together. So yeah, we'll put it at a three. It's with Budios.
All right. Rising Judgment, WrestleMania 38.
That's his Edge's entrance with the chair and the flames and everything.
I don't know.
It was cool at the time, but is it like a long-standing entrance?
No. Because here's the sad thing. I don't even remember it. I didn't even know if it was Edge when I saw it on the list.
It's a two.
So I feel like that's a two.
Yeah, it's a two.
Like, I remember the Brood entrance, but I don't remember this one. Shinsuke Nakamura at WrestleMania 34.
It was good. Good musical performance. It's a two or a three.
I would say it's like a three. I mean, the entrance was cool with everything, but like, especially with Nita Strauss, but like, yeah, it's like a three.
All right. Three. This next one.
Oh, wait, I think I skipped one. Did we do Motorcade?
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. We got to do Motorcade. That's Hunter and Steph on the bikes and the whole bikes coming down to the ring. That's also a three.
Yeah. It was a cool visual, but I'm going to be really honest. Like, Steph coming out on the stage in that one little outfit that she had with like the mask, like the skull handheld mm-hmm. mask where she like summoned Hunter, that one was way better just because Steph looked really good in that entrance. Oh boy. Fiend in a Box, WrestleMania 37. Part of me is really happy that this was Bray's final WrestleMania entrance because he looked like an absolute fucking rock star in it. The entrance is he sheds the weird burned up fiend costume and regenerates. There's like a little bit of cinematic quality to it where he loses that fiend costume, and it was the only time that we ever got to see like the full burned up fiend outfit. The rest of the time I don't think he wore the whole thing because I believe it was like too heavy and he couldn't really like move or breathe in it. But like he shed that outfit and he regenerated into the new version of the Fiend. And that was the only time we ever got to see that version of the Fiend. And he emerges from this giant Jack in the Box that Alexa brought to the ring. And he just looked badass when he came out of it. Because he was like, he had gotten himself in shape. You know, the outfit fit him really well. He looked really good. The reaction to it was just insane from what I remember. In terms of the list, I want to make it a three.
Works for me.
Charlotte Flair rolls up to WrestleMania 35 in a helicopter.
Like, the premise was cool, but I think it could have been, like, that's hard to pull off, like, because it was a pre-tape. It wasn't like a legit, hey, she's landing and coming right to the ring. It was, because you have to pre-tape, because something can get horribly wrong. Like, you couldn't get the shot right or something. It just could have gone bad.
Well, you're kind of limited in the shots that you can do,
and weather dependent too, and all the things.
An effort was made, and I respect the fact that an effort was made, but at the same time, to me, it's like a two.
Yeah, it's a two. Great premise, just didn't hit.
All right, Salt and Pepper at WrestleMania 11.
It's cool. They got Salt and Pepper at WrestleMania for Lawrence Taylor. It was cool. The year they brought all those, they got all the celebrity, the girls and stuff like Pamela Anderson, Jenny McCarthy. They were like trying to make Hartford, Connecticut WrestleMania cool. But it's
I mean, as much as you can.
It's a one.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a one. The Snoop Boss, WrestleMania 32. This is where Snoop Dogg sang his cousin to the ring. This is the one where she came down on the cart, right? Or did he walk down with her?
He walked down with her. I think she drove out in the car. Or no, only she had the car in this one. He played her to the ring. Three.
Yeah, it was cool. It was really cool. But I don't think it's like iconic.
No.
I still maintain that her rolling up in that Escalade at TakeOver is like the top, with the second being the one where she like, I think they redid the Escalade entrance, but they had her like come down on like a cart type situation.
Mm-hmm.
Those were like the two top, because it just sold the whole persona of her. The Roman Reigns Orchestra at WrestleMania 40.
It was cool.
I mean, how many people can say that a full orchestra played them to the ring? Not many.
Had a nice local tie-in. They used local orchestra here. Still say a three.
Yeah.
It's like mid-three.
There was something, it was cool, but there's something about it that I don't think quite hit.
It's hard. It's hard to get that to hit. Especially in like an open-air stadium, you kind of lose some of the sound.
Yeah.
It was the last thing that happened that night. So, you know,
Worked. Like, in a night of entrances, it's kind of like, oh yeah, that did happen. But it was a nice local touch. Okay. He should have won. The Wyatt debut at WrestleMania 30. This was in New Orleans. You had Mark Crozer play Bray Wyatt to the ring. This was the birth of the slut coat, or the pimp coat, excuse me. Bray would had like all the momentum going into this match. Like you had a dancer before this that was just freaking awesome. Like the whole thing, it tied into like the local area, tied into the character. They hit like the voodoo elements and all the creepy stuff. This was, to me, probably his best WrestleMania entrance that he had, which is fitting because it was the debut. I want to make this a 4. Limp Bizkit, WrestleMania 19. This is where they played The Undertaker to the ring. This is like a 2 or 1 for me.
A 2?
Or a 1.
That's a 2. I'll give it a 2.
Like, it was good for the time because this was American Badass Taker and it sold the character and it was in Houston and so like the whole thing worked, but it's nah man nah,
it works.
Can't go there with it. The bagpipes at WrestleMania 40.
It's another 3.
Yeah,
it's cool visual, cool.
It was cool.
It was cool, but it's a 3. It's right in there. It's not iconic enough to last where it's gonna last a lifetime.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Seth Rollins and his choir, WrestleMania 38. I lost my spot.
I liked it.
It's cool.
That's another 3.
This was, yeah, it's another 3. Like, I was sitting here trying to remember, it's like 38. That was LA, right?
No, this was, where were they at 38? The Dome.
I thought it was LA. Was no. It? Oh, it was the Dome? Okay. I thought it was LA.
No. Dallas.
Dallas. Okay. All
right. Right? Yeah. Dallas was 38.
Hold on. Googling.
No, yeah, because that was Austin. It's Jerry's World. 38. It's the stadium.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. 3.
Bianca and the girls at WrestleMania 39. This was cute.
This is a 4 or 5 because how, again, it had the local touch to it. It was cool seeing all the girls dancing with her on the stage. It's 4 or 5 for me. I really liked it.
I thought it was cute. And in terms of for like Bianca, it sets her up as the role model.
Yeah.
That they were trying to present her as and that she actually is. And yeah, I just, this was one of her better entrances. I can give it a 4.
I really enjoyed that one. All right, next one.
Up next, we have Egyptian Bayley at WrestleMania 40.
She was carried out a little bit on the thing. I think it's a 2.
Yeah, I would say it's a 2. It was cool.
It was a cool idea. It was solid, but it wasn't, I don't know, it wasn't iconic enough to go any higher.
Motionless Rhea, WrestleMania 40.
I thought the performance was really cool. I liked the performance. Yeah, almost. She looked like a badass coming to the ring. Crowd was electric. The song fit, like, her song really fits, and it fit well with the group. It's a 3 or 4.
I could give it a 4. Just because this is, like, I feel like...
That's her standard now. That's her standard now.
Yeah, that's, like, the standout moment for... One of the standout moments for her. It just, again, it sold the character perfectly. It was really a tailor-made entrance for her. So, yeah, I can give it a 4. I have no problem doing that. All right, up next. Dom Mysterio shows up in a jail van. WrestleMania 39.
It was creative.
I want to make this a 4 just for creativity, like, points. This was... He was fighting his father. He had been arrested by, you know, as his father called the cops on him. And so what does this little shit do? Because this was like Dom's like kind of rise where they were taking him out of being babyface Dom with his father. They had put him in with the Judgment Day. He was really like becoming heel Dom. And like this moment was just so freaking good. It's not iconic. It's probably not going to stand the test of time. But when that motherfucker rolled up in a jail van, we all lost our shit.
Yeah, I'll give it a 4. It's good.
Like, that's just a 4. Like, if you, it's one of those you had to be there moments. Logan Paul on the zip line, WrestleMania 39.
We have iconic. Sean did it better. He tried trash talking. It was fine. It was a fine little entrance. Like, it's cool, but it's a 2 or a 3.
I'd say it's a 2.
You can't redo iconic. And they tried.
There was an effortlessness to Sean's that wasn't in Logan's. Because Logan is like on his phone and he's filming the whole thing. Because of course he's going to make it into content. And that's just the difference in time and generations. Because obviously cell phones were not a thing as they are now when Sean did it. But there's just... there's just like that effortlessness of Sean just like floating down, completely casual, totally unbothered. And there's a showmanship to that that I don't feel like Logan Paul has. Like, I think Logan Paul tries at times a little bit too hard. Mm-hmm. Whereas Sean, it was always just very effortless. Like, he had that charisma and the machismo and everything else that you want to say to be able to pull off what he was doing. So, sorry, Logan. The hearse ride for AJ Styles at WrestleMania 36.
Everyone thought it was Taker. And then it's AJ who pops out.
This was the beginning of the feud between AJ and Taker, though.
No, it was the end. It was the last Taker's last match.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
This was him rolling up to the Boneyard with the hearse and then the coming out. Match. Yeah, coming out of the casket.
I'd say it's like a two.
Yeah, that's a two. Cool visual pop, but that's a two.
That's such a unique era. Like, because it's in a silent, quote-unquote, graveyard that they had made up. This is the COVID era, y'all. So there was, like, no crowd. There was no, like, reaction on TV. Everything was, like, on Twitter or on social media. And so, like, I don't feel like it had the same level of oomph as mm-hmm. what it would have had. It had this been an arena. Okay. The Bray Wyatt creature's entrance at WrestleMania 31. This would have been fucking sick as hell if they had done it at night.
And they tried.
They tried really, really, really hard. But this entrance, especially during the day, or at least the sunset, ugh. Because it's like Bray's entrance and Taker's entrance. Like they were kind of like almost in like sundown twilight. Because yep. I think they tried to put it on as late as they could without making it the main event. Because obviously Brock was the main event. But like, oh man, I wish this had been at night or in a dark stadium. Because, oh Jesus, this would have been so cool. This would have been so cool. Like, you had Bray come out, he was in the green pants, and he had, like, these creatures, like, these creepy scarecrow things, and, like, he just looked so cool. Except it was in daylight. Like, those scarecrows coming out of the darkness, like, holy shit, that would have been awesome. So for that, I have to make it a three.
I can't argue that. I put Hunter at two because it was, like, the same stadium. It was West Coast. Light out.
That was the show where I feel like, and I think they're a little better with it now, but this I think was one of the first open air stadiums where they were going to have to deal with that, and I don't think they figured out how to properly deal with it.
Yeah, it's hard
to make it work
because West Coast is harder to do that because you're lighter for three more hours. So Vegas is going to be interesting to see how. I think they'll be all right with darkness and stuff.
We'll see. I mean, they don't have as many characters that rely on dark entrances. Like, this is the other thing, too, is for this show, you had, like, Hunter, you had Sting, you had Taker, you had Bray. They all kind of rely on darker entrances, and it doesn't work in the daylight. Like, it just, it's like Taker's entrance. It doesn't work in the daylight at all. So, it will be interesting for Vegas, but yeah, for this, it's like they... And I don't think there's any good solution for it. And that's part of the problem with this show was like there was no real good solution for these characters that had darker entrances. It's like you're just going to have to go on when you go on because it's like Sting and Hunter went on early and then Brain Taker. I think they got them on like closer to
second.
Like,
they were darkness. They were second to last. Yeah.
But it was like by the time Brock, but like I think by the time the match had kind of ended, it had gotten dark. But like it was still somewhat light. From what I remember, fairly light when Bray came out. So it's like, oh, damn. Because when Brock came out, it was like, oh, fuck. You know, it's like, damn it. Because it was like, it was total darkness. And it's like, oh, it would have been so cool. Can you guys just like run it back real quick? Just have him come out again. Just do it again. Now that it's dark, just do it again. I want to see it. So yeah. The Rock and his flamethrower at WrestleMania 32.
Cool visual.
It's a two.
Yeah, it's a two. It's a cool visual.
It's a very cool visual, but it's a two.
That's a two.
The inflatable awesome, the myth, the legend that I so desperately want them to bring back, and they never will, at WrestleMania 27. It's a two.
It's a five.
It's a five? You're going to make it a five?
I think it's a five. Yeah.
I mean, this, for those of you that don't know, it is the word awesome in his font inflated, and he burst through it. We only ever saw it the one time at WrestleMania 27, and they have never, ever brought that bitch back. And I want them to badly.
They have. They brought it back once.
When did they bring it back?
I don't remember, but I remember them coming back, I think, once. I could be wrong.
I don't think he's ever brought it back. I don't remember him ever doing it. But, like, to me, it's, like, it's so simple. Because that was the WrestleMania that they had, like, just the stage, which was nothing but LED boards. And it was so simple, and it was so effective. And it's just, to me, it lives rent-free in my brain because I love it so much for some idiotic reason. So yeah, I can give it a five. I have no issue with that.
You were like, it's a two. No, it's a five.
I was going to give it a two simply because it's like, it's the word awesome inflated. The simplicity of it and compared to like everything else. Yeah. You know, it's a two. And it's like, I love it.
SummerSlam 25th anniversary. He brought it back. Yeah.
I don't remember. I'm going to have to look that up.
It was 2012.
Oh, God, it's 2012? I may not have seen that one.
We reviewed it. You've seen it.
I've seen it?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't remember seeing it.
It's in the archives. We talked all about it.
Well, I mean, to my credit, that was, what, 13 years ago?
Something like that, yeah.
You and I have had a lot of conversations.
Had a lot of shit.
In the last 13 years.
Yes. Very true.
Like, a lot of shit has happened.
Yeah. All right. So, as we get down to the bottom of the list, except for the last one on this list, these next few were put on by Brent.
Okay. Austin Breaks Glass. WrestleMania 13.
It is one of the most iconic images in WrestleMania entrance history.
I would say in WWE history. Yes. Like, that thing is in everything. I think it's in the intro package.
It used to be
the Shawn zipline.
It's like a three. All the thing did was break.
But there's an aura to it. There was a reaction to it.
Yes, but it's a three.
I'm going to let you go after him. And it's iconic. It is iconic.
What? It's a 2 seconds. It's not an iconic entrance. It's an iconic moment. It's not an iconic entrance. What's your number?
But it's synonymous with him because the glass breaking.
I get that. What's your number?
I can make it a four just because it is iconic. To me, it is not a five.
Okay, I can give a four, but it's like not a low five. Four. It's a low four. It's just a very basic entrance, though. Like, if you did it now, the visual would be much cooler.
Oh, yeah. If you did it now, it'd be way better. Like, this is before, this is like the tweener when WrestleMania was evolving from just a wrestling show into the spectacle that we know now. And they didn't have the production values of what they have now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they were to do that today, it would be insane. Taker and his Fire Druids, WrestleMania 20. This match, or this entrance, is entirely average in terms of Taker entrances. It's the return of the Dark Side Undertaker. He had left the American Badass behind. He had the trench coat. He had the hat. He was in his very awkward hair phase at that point, because he's trying to grow his hair back out. The one thing that makes this entrance hilarious to me is the entire time that Taker is walking to the ring, Kane is standing in the middle of the ring, freaking the fuck out and screaming, "You're not real." Just to give a little context, there's a feud between The Undertaker and Kane, where Kane betrayed his brother like he does, buried The Undertaker alive, tried to kill him, and then he's like, "You know, my brother's dead. I've gotten rid of him. La-di-da-di-da. Look at me. I'm great. I'm awesome. I'm wonderful." And then there was this entire build-up where The Undertaker was returning, right? Which included the return of Paul Bearer to WWE. And they had Bearer and Taker reunite in this entrance, and you had Bearer manage him and walk him to the ring and do the whole Undertaker entrance and do the whole thing. Like, but what makes it is Kane's performance in this. Like, to me, it's a three.
Yeah.
It was a cool moment, but it's a very average Undertaker entrance. But what just sends it up in terms of like performance is Kane. Just how the fuck the Undertaker kept a straight face for that entire time, I will never goddamn know. I hope somebody asks him at one of his one-man shows and gets an answer and puts it out on the internet. Because, like, Kane just sold the ever-living fuck out of it. Like, the whole time. Right up until they touch for the first time. Like, Kane's, like, the whole time, he's like, you're not real. You're not real. I killed you. I buried you. You're not real. And he's like, I'm hallucinating. He's, like, doing the whole, like, facial things. And then, like, when he goes to touch the Undertaker the first time, he, like, turns his head away. And he closes his eyes and he's reaching out with his hand trying to feel for the Undertaker. And of course, the second he touches the Undertaker, he smacks shit out of him. If you can't tell, this is one of my most favorite WrestleMania moments. But like, yeah, it's a 3. What about you?
Yeah, I'll give you a 3.
The goddess on her pedestal, WrestleMania 34.
Alexa Bliss. That's a solid 3. Low end.
Yeah. I mean, it was cool. Like, it was a cool visual of her coming down and the entrance and everything, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, it's a 3.
Like, the outfit was cute. Hey, hey, hop, hop, Miz and Morrison, WrestleMania 37.
That's a 1, and we're just gonna move on.
Brent, why? Just why would you do that? Bad Bunny rolls into WrestleMania 37.
The opposite of hey, hey, hop, hop.
Right? Because wasn't it Mysterio who drove into the ring?
I think so.
In a lowrider? And was it Eddie's lowrider or was it just a lowrider?
No, he pulled up in a semi-truck.
Oh, that's right.
This was the semi-truck. The Ray thing, Bad Bunny, was when Bad Bunny brought Ray to the ring against Dom.
That's right. That's right. There's too many car entrances, chat. There's way too many.
I say 3.
Yeah, I can give it a 3.
Last but not least. Yeah.
The Queen on her throne. WrestleMania 34.
Redoing Hunters.
With the male attendance for Charlotte.
I liked it.
I thought it was cool. Like, it was neat. I think Hunters was a little bit better.
That's why this should be a flow in 4.
I can give you that. I have no problem with that.
Yeah. Solid. Great visual. Great for her. But that's the list.
That's the list. So, all right, chat, do you agree with us? Let us know. Tweet us. Tout us. You know, however you want to get the word out. I'm sure Brent will have his opinions and more when he hears this. So, you know, let us know what you thought of the list. But, you know, where can they find us, Rock?
You can find us all over the place. But tomorrow, Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, it's CB Radio. Kicks off WrestleMania Week 1. With Rob and Sub giving their predictions. Before that is the 0 hour for AEW. Brent's thoughts for 15 minutes, 11:15, so be there early. Sunday night, Keishi returns for Wrestle Talk Radio as they preview WrestleMania. Monday night, it's the Raw Post Show, right after Raw. The go home to WrestleMania. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for the Rack to preview WrestleMania. And then we'll review WrestleMania Day 1 following WrestleMania. And so much more coverage, including WTR Sims returns next Friday for all WrestleMania matches at 10 p.m. Eastern. Tap Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com, says Wild Talk Radio Network chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Support Channel. By clicking the purple or tagging the button below the screen, you can also use credit card Rocket Sock in the Fort or Lynn Zen Ward in the Fort. I am shy. Why?
Because we are hashtag epic partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, LNSWD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lynn's Ward, where we are going through the Honkai Star Rail update and seeing what's going on Amphorious. And yes, I am screaming over fictional men. So if you would like to come hang out with me, that's twitch.tv/Lynn's Ward. You can also follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@SimaLynn's Ward. And you can follow me on TikTok, Lynn's Ward Zero. And while you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, you can head over to Matt's channel, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. Like, subscribe, and tell him we said hi. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we will see you next week for WrestleMania. Till then. Bye. They say the money is the root of the evilest ways. But have you ever been so hungry it keeps you awake? Mate, now my hunger will leave them amazed. Great. It feels like a long time coming. Bam. Since the day I thought of that cunning plan. One day I had a dream. I tried to chase it, but I wasn't going nowhere. Running, man. I knew that maybe someday I would thunder.
WildTalkRadio.com.